How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, February 6th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. Nice to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And part of the reason I'm glad you're here is because I want to talk to you about the article that you wrote yesterday about streaming services and kind of what it's going to take for them to be successful.
Yeah, I wanted to write this article for myself to kind of sort out in my mind, because I write a lot about streaming video, about what the metrics for success are. And I also wanted to help the readers kind of sort out in their mind how their current service is working and how a prospective service might measure up. Yeah. So I kind of wrote out a synopsis of what I thought were important details. And there turned out to be at least seven that I could think of. Elements to the success of a streaming service. And it's not at all guaranteed that a streaming service will succeed in the long run. There are dangers, there are pitfalls. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest pitfall is with the technical side of it. The appearance, the operation of the app, and the streaming technology that they use to deliver 4K, possibly Dolby Vision. The other night, my wife and I watched The Last Jedi on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long the movie is exactly in minutes, but it was about 2 hours. And it was 4K, Dolby Vision, rock solid, zero hiccups, no MPEG breakups, beautiful 2-hour video, like watching in the theater. Mm-hmm. And that's routine for Netflix, not so much for Amazon. But it's getting to be a habit with Disney, because I've watched all of The Mandalorian and never saw so much as a hiccup there. Mm-hmm. Either. So any new service, if they think that they can just throw together a streaming package without having a lot of industry experience in streaming, is going to be in for trouble, because customers won't stand for a frozen video stream very much.
There's lots
of competition out there, and we're all suffering from subscription fatigue, and as soon as people figure out that they can't rely on a service, it freezes up or it stutters all the time and they're not enjoying their movie experience or their TV show experience, they're going to just cancel. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to cancel streaming subscriptions compared to, say, you know, other cable services whose names I won't mention.
Right.
So that was one part of it. And then the app design is critical. There's an ample opportunity to abuse the customer within the app.
Yes.
Netflix does that. It's hard to edit out things you don't want to watch anymore. Mm-hmm. And Amazon introduces some of its videos with a short promo for other videos, mm-hmm. which is not really advertising per se. It's like an internal promotion, mm-hmm. but it could be very annoying.
I do like that those tend to be really short, though.
You can skip over it with your controller.
Yeah. Right. Like HBO does this on their service. Prime does it. I don't know if anyone else does it. I don't remember having noticed it anywhere else, but it's usually about 10 seconds. And the skip forward and back, I mostly watch on my Apple TV, and the skip forward and back is about 10 seconds. So if you don't want to watch it, you can just skip that part and it's fine.
Yeah. Right. Another element of a successful streaming service, I think, is to have a great signature show. And it helps if you're a studio like Disney, where you have access to Pixar technology and your own Disney experience with computer graphics and animation and special effects. Mm-hmm. You've already got that technology to draw upon.
Right.
And so for Disney, doing the Mandalorian signature show was just another part and parcel of their Star Wars family of mm-hmm. shows. Apple had to kind of package it and work it together and build up a concept for what their signature show was going to be, then hire the right kind of people, who in turn hired the right kind of people, who in turn hired the right kind of people
right.
to build up the infrastructure of a family that could develop a show like The Morning Show mm-hmm. and make it really great, make it a signature package. And my credit and my hat is off to Apple for realizing that they needed to have a signature show like that.
Mm-hmm. I think
so. That's one of the other elements.
Well, and I think that that's sometimes, depending on the service, I will preface this with for some services. If it was a service that was around for a long time, remember people thought like Netflix doing this but online was ludicrous at best, right? Like, why would you try to do this with your TV when you could be like mailing DVDs and like getting whatever you want with a DVD? And especially when you live in Portland, where they have a major like distribution center south of here. So here it was always like a day, maybe two, and then you got it. You got your DVD. So it wasn't a big deal. So like people here were like, I think places that were near where it was very easy for Netflix to mail you a disc were even more confused. But when there was no original content from anybody, you know, when Netflix wasn't making anything, and really, I know Netflix did some other stuff, but I feel like House of Cards was the first, like, this is a thing from a place where I used to rent movies. And at that point, I think, like, Netflix was the only game in town at that point that was making their own stuff. And people kind of thought it was weird, and then everybody got reeled in. And then they, I think hot on its heels was Orange is the New Black, and then... I don't remember what the first one was from the other services. Like that, like having a signature show is something that, you know, didn't really come about. And what's sort of interesting right now anyway, because we don't have anything official on Peacock or HBO Max yet. Like the most recent service that made its debut was TV Plus. So we've gone from the video store making its own movies to one, you know, which is weird at the time, to 100% original content from a streaming service, which that evolution has been fascinating to watch, and it did not take long. And I think one of the things that you pointed out is the app and the experience in the app. And part of the reason I think that matters is tied to one of your other reasons, which is that it's pretty easy to cancel that service if you get mad at it.
And sign up is critical. I remember, right, I was thinking about signing up for CBS All Access in order to get Star Trek Discovery Season 2. Mm-hmm. And they threw up, I went straight to CBS All Access, and I got a subscription page, and it was name. I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember everything, but it was kind of like name, first name, last name, address, email address, desired password, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do all of this. I'm just going to sit. And when CBS All Access finally came around, and maybe it was always there, but I finally figured out how to just subscribe to it within an Apple TV app. And so CBS All Access is now one of my channels, and it's billed to my Apple ID account. No sign up required.
Right.
Easy, trivial.
Oh yeah.
And I really like that. I think that's an important characteristic. And I think any service that's thinking about asking you for your entire life history in order to sign up for demographic reasons and analysis is going to have a hard time getting subscribers.
Well, and there's more to that for sure. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But for right now, what I'd like to do is talk to you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is Zapier. And yes, it rhymes with happier. And the best way I have found to describe Zapier to people is that it hooks your stuff to all your other stuff. So if you have something that happens in a particular application that you use a lot, especially at work, where you have to do something by hand and transform from the source of the data into something else, or take action based on a particular type of data, you can let Zapier do that for you. So it's one of those things where when you have a computer, and a computer is supposed to be able to do some of the boring stuff for you, and you still find yourself doing a lot of boring stuff, that's where Zapier comes in. You don't have to waste time on tasks that you know your computer could do for you if you could just figure out how. You don't have to. Zapier takes away all of that learning curve. You don't have to learn about APIs. You don't have to build something. You don't have to make a website or learn a programming language in order to make this stuff happen. You can let Zapier take care of the heavy lifting of it and allow those things to happen for you. So you can send, like if you're in sales, for example, and you get a sales opportunity, you can immediately send that off to your CRM or to a spreadsheet of people that need follow-up phone calls or something. And it all happens automatically. And then you can have that kick off maybe an email to the person whose job it is to call that person back. However you want to work it, there are lots and lots of ways that you can make things happen. Dave, our own Dave Hamilton, uses Zapier now to manage the Matt Geekab podcast when somebody writes in with a payment, when somebody goes and makes a payment online, and then they, as a result of being a paying member, get a shout out on the show. It automatically kicks over the information that he needs from that email into a spreadsheet, so that the spreadsheet then is all he has to do, and it saves him time every week from having to go dig around for all that information and do it by hand. So you can join the more than 4.5 million people who save an average of 40 hours a month by using Zapier. I personally think that number could be low because I don't know if they're including the time where you sigh deeply and grumble about the thing that you have to do before you actually do it. So right now, through the end of the month, you can try Zapier for free with a 14-day trial by going to the special link I'm about to give you. And that's zapier.com/TDO, zapier.com/TDO. It's a free 14-day trial. You can get that at zapier.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other piece of this, John, that I wanted to kind of talk about was, we talked about signing up being very easy. I do feel like at some point, you and I, or you and Charlotte, one of the two, will end up having a conversation about how signing up with Apple is so much easier, and you should have the option to give that demographic data to whatever service you've subscribed to. That should be your option. Part of the reason that some places don't let Apple manage the subscription piece of what they're doing is because they want that data and aren't getting it. And so I think there may be an argument to be had there, like it should be up to you if you want to pass that over. But also, it can be pretty easy to cancel that service, not just easy to sign up. But the reason that it's easy to cancel is because there's another service out there. I don't think anyone is subscribed to everything. So if it turns out that Netflix updates the app and it's terrible, then cancel Netflix and go use something else. Maybe the HBO app makes you happier, or maybe you like the Showtime app. If all you're really watching is movies anyway and you don't care, then maybe that's, you know, there may be appeal in something else for you. Like, I just want to see a bunch of big movies and, you know, cool. So I think there's a certain amount of that which is going to cause trouble as well. You know, the streaming wars, we've been talking about it forever, and we still don't have all the players in place, but I think there needs to be more competition. I think there is more competition available, and I think it's very easy to hop from one to the next to the next. And part of the reason I think that's so easy is because there's lots of other places out there.
One of the things I did not mention in the article, and I kind of figured it was implicit in the app part about streaming technology, was that if you're a streaming service and you don't own an ISP, like NBC owns Comcast, or vice versa, Comcast owns NBC Universal, you're going to have to be very careful making sure that you deal with net neutrality issues, and that your service is competing with them. They have their own service, and so you're going to be a competitor, and so you're going to have to work out an arrangement for quality of service. It may cost you. Another element is ad-free option. I think customers are very sensitive about the relationship between the ad-supported and the ad-free pricing. You know, NBC Universal has announced, I think, what was it? I forget now. It's $10 a month for an ad-free service.
I want to say that's right. And then, but they still have the, they've adopted the Hulu model of, if you pay a little, you get a little bit of commercials. And if you pay more, then you get less commercials. Zero commercials.
Disney is $6.99 a month if you pay by the month. You can pay less if you pay by the year. And that's ad-free. And Apple, although the content is slim, you pay $4.99 a month, and it's still ad-free. And I think Tim Cook said that they have a commitment to being ad-free, so if I remember correctly. So $10 a month is a pretty steep price for ad-free content, especially when you don't have at least an announced signature show. So I think Peacock is in a disadvantage in this respect.
Well, what Peacock has is not new. I think that's the magic of it. is that what they want to, at least for right now, we don't know anything about new content on that service. So all we know is that they will have old NBC shows.
Don't you think if they were going to roll out a signature show, they would be touting it by now?
No, I do. But that's what I'm saying, is that their approach is not what Disney's was, which was, we have a Star Wars TV show, and trust me, you want to watch it. And, you know, and Apple was like, we know everybody loves Friends. Guess what? We've got Jennifer Aniston. Right. Mm. So like everybody else had that hook for their show, and NBC doesn't have that. Right. And I think it's because NBC is relying on the catalog that they have. I mean, Disney had a pretty big, you know, Disney had kind of a big catalog when they when they launched their service. Yeah. But they still came out and said, look at the new thing that you get that nobody else will have. And
this goes to the discussion of new original content. Mm-hmm. I pointed to an article that the studios are fighting to keep Netflix from stealing all the talent.
Yeah.
All the money and all the acting talent is migrating to the streaming services, and that's leaving the networks starved of quality content. Mm-hmm. So if you roll through Netflix in the evening, you have a great selection of original content to choose from. If you look at NBC, ABC, CBS during the weekday evenings, You see things like American Ninja and Survivor and game shows with Ellen DeGeneres, and mm-hmm. you know, it's really not high quality, except for NCIS, which I love. Not a whole lot of high quality content on network, and they're starved for writers, and they're starved for money.
I was gonna say, I see a whole lot of good TV out there. So, but I think you're right. Not a lot of it comes from networks. The show I'm in love with right now and have resisted watching the most recent episode of, because it's the series finale, is The Good Place, which I love.
Yeah, I like that show too.
Don't talk to me about the ending yet. I'm not quite there. I'm not emotionally ready for it to be over because that show makes me really happy. So yeah, I think you're right in that this other content is kind of taking up the network airtime, but we're getting so much good TV from all these other places. So, you know, Amazon picked up The Expanse, so we're getting more of The Expanse. We just had Watchmen, which was really, really successful for HBO.
Big money makes more money.
Yeah. Speaking of HBO, the next series of Westworld starts in March, which is very exciting to me personally. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's out there that's just not network content. And I think a lot of viewing has moved away from that network content, which is why you're seeing, you know, yet another season of Survivor. So
yeah.
If you have feedback on this, please let us know. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get me at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. We definitely want to hear from you on this. We are always interested in what our listeners have to say, particularly when it comes to the streaming stuff, mostly because John is always on the lookout for a new show to watch. So if you do have a recommendation for him, he looks forward to your letters. John, thank you so much for being here today and hanging out with me to talk about streaming services. I always like talking to you about the streaming stuff.
Thanks for I do too. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you were here. And I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.